welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the Wise Guys, and we're happy to have you here with us. And we're looking at some great times here this morning. We're going to be talking about some cool topics like friendship. Friendship, what is it? What are the most important things in life for you?
Boy, we all need friends, don't we?
Yeah.
Boy, what would life be if we didn't have
each friends.
Other?
Right.
Those relationships that are so critical
for
just living the abundant life.
So if you want to be part of this conversation this morning and talk about friendship, you're going to be joining us. And us happens to be, I have Rick with me this morning. How are you, sir?
Hey, we're rejoicing.
Right on.
The day Yahweh's made. Let's rejoice.
And I have Aaron here also in the studio.
How you doing, guys?
Good morning.
And be glad in it.
And be glad in it. And myself, I'm Roland here with you guys. We're looking forward to a conversation over friendship. And if you want to be part of this conversation and you want to call in, the call-in number for us is 503-589-1220. That's right. And that is meant to have a conversation, okay? So if you're wanting to actually hear the program and you want to sit back and go, hey, this is what you're going to do, how do they do that,
Rick? And if you're not on your computer and you're on your phone, any phone, 605-562-9746.
You got it.
605-562-9746. 9746. And you can listen to Hebrew Nation anytime, 24/7 of the week.
Yep. And if you don't want your phone, you can go right to the website, which is Hebrew Nation Radio Online. Click on it, and these shows are playing live. All right? And you can hear.
Or you can listen to, what is it, number 3, Wise Guys?
Okay, well, that's the email.
Right.
So if you want to talk to us via email, it's the number 3, wiseguys at
HebrewNation.net.
You got it. Good guess, Aaron. Did you know it was net or com? Did you know it was net?
I knew it was net.
Okay.
I know things. Very few things, but I know some things.
The number 3, Wise Guys.
At HebrewNation.net.
You got it. And you can go ahead and send us any sort of note you want to send us.
Yeah. I mean, good or bad. I mean, you know, the kind stuff is
but be careful,
a lot
right?
nicer. Kindness.
Kindness. It's a wonderful thing,
yes,
right?
It is.
Hey, so, you know, this friendship idea, you know, we always talk about important things. What is most important? And I think why we're coming together here as a group today, Aaron and Rick and I, is that all 3 of us have something in common. And that common has, I think, and let me just throw this out at you guys, but in our lives, we've experienced a death or a passing away, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And by doing that, we realize that there are really important things in life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so when you lose somebody, all of a sudden you get woke up to this point of, wow, you know, what is the most important thing?
But you know what's a wonderful thing?
Tell me.
You know, when you really don't lose them because you know where they are.
Amen for that.
Well, that is right. That is what death, where's your sting?
You right know? On.
Even though it hurts and you miss them, wow, it just brings comfort to them. You know, I buried both of my folks. I think you buried one.
Yep.
And you have yours. You're blessed. You still have yours, Aaron. But, wow, when you know you're going to reunite with you, not only your
that's
Messiah.
That's the joyous hope, right?
That's that death word you're thinking. Even though you miss them terrible.
I know, right?
So,
well,
yeah.
You miss the physical thing that they bring to the table, right?
Man,
that joy.
Yeah, that, you know,
understanding.
Like what we're doing here, you know, dialoguing, just, you know, how do we get close to somebody? By spending time
with him,
with one another, and that's why we spend time with our Creator, huh? So we can get closer to Him.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have it all, and you can have all the friends in the world, but if you don't know the Giver of Life,
yes,
you're going to continue to search.
Yeah, but that Giver of Life, I think He put us on earth for life to have relationship.
No doubt.
And because we have relationship, we get filled. What do you think, Aaron?
When you have a relationship, what happens?
Mm.
Where does that go? It creates a friendship.
Yeah.
You
know,
that's right.
And you know, there's multiple kinds of friendships, right?
We're going to get into those.
Ooh,
I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, this is going
to
be good.
You know, we have a book that I'm kind of working out of, and it's the Bible.
there's that book.
That's the ultimate guidebook.
Yeah, there's a thing called the Book of Wisdom, so we're going to be quoting out of that a bunch. And also we're going to be looking at some things that I was talking with Dr. Frank Sinkins. We're going to hopefully have him on the air here in about a week or a couple weeks and go over some of the things that he's given us permission to go over with when it comes to some of the things that he's written. But he has a few quotes. Guys, why don't you try on these quotes? Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay,
we
need to hear them.
So this comes from O. Henry, and he says this: no friendship is an accident.
Huh.
I believe that.
No friendship is an accident. That means whoever's been put in your path has been put there for a reason. Aristotle wrote this: without friends, no one would choose to live, though he had all other goods.
So he had everything the world could accept. If you didn't have friends, you're going to be empty, aren't you?
That's that deserted island question.
That's right.
And friends are friends forever.
I knew that was coming.
The Lord of them. As soon as I saw you, I knew an adventure was going to happen. Can you guess who that comes from? Who's that quote? As soon as I saw you, I knew an adventure was going to happen.
Help us out.
Winnie the Pooh.
Oh.
Winnie the Pooh.
And Henry.
I was thinking like real person.
I didn't think it was a cartoon character.
And Henry Ford said this: my best friend is the one who brings out the best in me.
The truck?
Yeah. Right?
And hopefully it's our spouses, right? Our best friends.
Yeah, and
our Creator, number one, of course.
Right.
He brings out the best. If it wasn't for Him, you guys, I don't know where we'd be.
I know, right?
Think about it. We wouldn't be here. I can guarantee that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
Friends are important.
Guy, they're more important than we. And I think the older you get, the more you have that perception. When you're young, you know, you say, there's people all over, you know. But when as you get older, you see what really matters and what doesn't.
There's a Hebrew word called Ish Shalomi.
Ish Shalomi.
Ish Shalomi. The person of my peace. It's wholeness and completeness, as Dr. Frank Seekin says.
Wow.
And I think we can see friendships in marriages. I think we can see friendships in relationships. I think we can see friendships in fellowships, in churches. Who's the friendship? Who's the one that brings you peace? You know, Ish Shalomi.
He brings me peace.
I was gonna say the one who brings you my coffee, but
really,
usually that's me though.
My goodness! So do we have a text we can read this morning before we get going, guys? And maybe a text, and we definitely have to have a word of prayer, as our custom is with the wise guys.
Yeah, why don't we just have that word of prayer first and give the Father this?
Go for it,
Father in heaven. We again thank you. Father, you are the most awesome friend. You laid your life down for us, Father, and you became one of us and laid your life down. You're two, but yeah, you're one. We don't understand that. Our finite minds can't grasp it, but we know your word is truth. And Father, that brings comfort to our souls. And Father, I just pray comfort on behalf of Aaron and Kimberly, Father. No, they didn't lose Josiah. We know exactly where he is. And Father, in knowing that what your word tells us, death, where is your sting? Father, yes, you can take care of these ones that go on before us. a million times better than we could ever think of. And Father, I just thank you for that blessed hope, that blessed shalom, that peace that passes all understanding that we have by only knowing you, our giver of life. And Father, as we gather together this morning, Father, open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds to what you want to teach us today. As we, Father, you are ultimate friend, but then all these other wonderful friendships that we have in this life, and help us put truly, help us to understand and be able to put a true value, Father, because that's really, you could have everything, but if you don't have those ones that are most important to us and we're not in union with them, starting with you, Father, it's all chasing of the wind. And I just thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. Amen. Father, help us navigate through this next hour and a half together, that your name through our time together will be glorified and lifted up and exalted. In Yeshua's holy name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen. You know, Rick, you started that prayer off with Yeshua, who laid down his life for us. And I think that's probably the biggest marker, I don't know about
laid
you guys.
Down your life for your friends.
That's one of the greatest friendship things that's ever. I mean, a friend that
that's
actually lays down your life.
Oh, man. Doesn't get any more awesome than that.
You know, I've heard stories of people that have been in the Air Force and the Army and Marines, and they'll talk about a friend that maybe took a bullet for them, or it got in the way, or rescued them, or brought them out off of a hill, and they were, that's a friend.
Well, do you ever see the guy that they're in the thing and the grenade, somebody throws a grenade and he jumps on the grenade and lets his body take all that, you know, man.
Oh, my word.
Buddy, that's amazing stuff.
But that's like Yeshua, right?
That's what Yeshua did.
Yeah, he took on that sin and he gave us everlasting life.
Our imperfections, the world's imperfection held him there on that tree.
Wow.
And, what a gift.
You know, but what do you guys think about this? You know, I know we're going to open up into some Proverbs text, the wisdom text. You know, but I've had people tell me, all I need then, because the greatest friend of all is Yeshua, and that's all I need.
Our Messiah, Savior.
But is he all you need? I mean, think about that for a minute. What do you think?
I think that he can supply all of your needs, but he did create us as a social being, which, you know, would mean that we would need to be social with other people, because it's very hard to be social with yourself.
or with a supreme being. Maybe it is hard just to be social with only a supreme being. Maybe what you're saying is right, that we need another human being to be social with.
We need
with.
Other human beings.
Right.
What text proves that? Yeah, I think it's even presented at the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even in the book of Bereshit, what do we learn?
In Genesis, it says that
man was alone.
Not good for man to be alone. Not good. He said everything is good, except he says it is not good for man to be alone, because he knows we need a helpmate, don't we? Mm-hmm. We need friends. We need to. Why? What does it say? Iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
See, sometimes I may rub you guys a little wrong. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's how he finds us. What do you think?
But are you really rubbing us wrong?
Well, sometimes. Hey, you around us, we're around each other enough, we'll rub each other wrong.
But some friends are made to rub you wrong.
I believe, the Father put him there. Yeah, to irritate us.
How are you using wrong? Maybe it's actually right.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it feels
wrong. Right.
But it may actually be what you need, because like you said, iron sharpens iron.
Yes.
By
friction.
By rubbing.
Yes.
You know, Rick, you always love calling your wife a Hebrew name, and it's very close to this person of peace, because the person of peace is Ishalomi.
Ishalomi.
Okay, so what is the wife called?
She is our either our Isha. Or our Ezra Kenegdo, I think is another deep word, which is our helpmate. That's why he said it's not good for man to be alone. He knew we needed a helpmate to complete us.
Yeah.
And we all three are fortunate enough to have those helpmates.
Mm-hmm.
Is it always perfect? Absolutely not. Either side.
Right.
Sometimes they irritate us, sometimes we irritate them.
Yeah.
In my case, usually it's me that's doing the irritating.
Well, I think it's, yeah, I think it's kind of a mutual thing, depending on the hour of the day. You know?
You know,
true, though, right? I mean,
we are, you know, Rick, we are actually today, we are going to discuss some of the characteristics of friendships. From the biblical point of view, from what Dr. Seekins found, there's close to 7 of them. In the world point of view, there's close to 8 of them. All right.
Is it close to 8 or is it 8?
It's 8.
Okay. It's actually 8.
I wonder what part of the world is writing these 8.
That would be that would be interesting to kind of know who came up with
exactly.
the list. Of,
well,
you know, what influences they
right,
had in
exactly.
coming up with it.
Well, in order to get everyone's whistle wetted up, okay. So I'm wondering if I can actually get into this thing. What the heck?
Where's your computer? What's happening with it?
I don't know. I can't find my little cursor. Maybe I'm not supposed to look at this. I don't know.
It's got to be hiding there somewhere.
It is.
You just got to find it.
Let's go with the biblical point of view first.
Let's start there.
In order to get your whistle wetted. Mm-hmm. Or the wetted whistle?
I have one right here.
Good
and
for
it's Proverbs 18. The last verse, 24. And a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. See, so have you ever had, I've seen people that kind of sit in their house and they says, nobody calls me. Have you ever seen anybody like that? No, I'm just sitting here alone. Nobody's even thinking about me.
Well, what I'd come back with is, does your phone not work? Or you can't dial out on your phone?
You can't push the buttons. And and see, we got to be, if we want friends, we got to reach out.
Okay, what does your version say again?
Okay, I'm going to read it again. In Proverbs 18:24, last verse. Mm-hmm. And it says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
Okay, now this particular
what does yours say?
Well, there's a whole lot of versions here.
I'm sure.
Okay, so
yeah, I've got a good one too. So
okay,
go ahead.
Are you ready? A man of many friends comes to ruin.
Whoa!
But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now that Hebrew word
many
changes.
Friends comes to ruin. That's a whole different.
What do you got, Aaron?
Mine's fairly similar. It says a man of many friends might come to ruin. So same as yours was saying, but there is a loving one who sticks closer than a brother.
A man, there are men who pretend friendship is the first part, but a man who sticks closer than a brother is followed. And a man of many companions may come to ruin. And a man with friends to show himself friendly, that's yours and Rick's. A man of friends may be broken up. That's the interlinear Bible.
Yeah, so I've seen people that have like 5,000 friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
But there's 5, not a single 000, close
but
friend.
But not, yeah.
They're stuck behind
shallow.
The computer.
Yeah, exactly. They have a writing friendship.
Yeah, and even that's not very personal.
I don't know how much they really do what we're doing here, dialoguing face-to-face, you know, knee-to-knee, elbow-to-elbow, you know?
I don't know.
And probably not enough of that happens today. What do you think?
Yeah, you actually dialogue on Facebook?
Yeah. dialoguing as you write, right?
Statement.
Yes.
Nobody talks on Facebook,
well,
right?
They throw insults at each other on Facebook.
Thank goodness I'm not on that.
Yeah, and there's more people suffering depression off of Facebook than ever before, but here they might have 600, 800, 1,000
friends.
Yeah. But no one that's closer than a brother.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
But they never do this. They never dialogue, you know?
Aristotle said this. A friend to all is a friend to none.
Well, it makes sense. If you're a friend to all, you're not.
Interesting.
That is.
Oh, my goodness.
What else did they say?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, okay, so this is what Frank says, okay? Notice when he looks at these verses. This is Dr. Frank Seekins. When we look at all these different verses that are here, it can be a person, well, it can be read two different ways. It can be a person who has many friends must be friendly.
Uh-huh.
Or that a person with many friends will be destroyed. And so that's what we found out, right?
Mm-hmm.
In biblical Hebrew, there are no vowels, and ancient scholars differed on how to read the word.
Hmm.
It's possible that there may have been an intentional double meaning that gives us both a promise and a warning.
Oh.
Well, what is the promise? I'd like to
first.
Well, the promise. First.
Yeah. Well, first off, a man of many friends must show himself
friendly. Friendly. You've got to be a friend to have friends.
Right. But then there's also the warning that if all we're doing is working to gain tons of friends, then we're seeking out wrong reasons, okay?
Not the right reasons.
We're feeling like, oh, I got all these friends and they're all responding to me. What does that feed us? Our ego.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
I have 600. I have 800. I have a lot.
Well, I have 5,000.
And that kind of feeds this ego thing.
Right.
And that would bring us to ruin, wouldn't it? What do you think?
I think that could really,
it's a double meaning.
Sure.
Yes. But then that friend that's closer than a brother, how does that feel to you guys?
I like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Makes a difference.
Yeah, all the difference. Hey, that friend is there. When you're going through it,
they're there.
They're there. Yeah.
And they might be there in different ways. And we're actually going to explore some of those ways today. So hang in with us today, guys, because this conversation today won't be as simple as you might think. We're going to break it down a number of ways. Mm-hmm. And you can listen into the conversation. So if you want to listen into the conversation, there's a number of ways to do it. And I want you to pull your friends in.
Yeah, let your friends know.
Okay. And so how do they
listen? You can call any phone, 605-562-9746. That's the way we listen. I have sometimes Bluetooth on my phone in my car, and I can listen via my speakers. I just dial that number, and it comes over my speakers, and it's like it's on the radio. So
yeah,
that's a good way to do it.
You can also tune in by just going to the Hebrew Nation, and we'll be being aired live, and you can do it. Hey, guys, I finally found the world thing.
Okay.
And this world thing might be easy for us to relate to because we'll be able to flip this into how we think maybe the world lines up with Scripture. I think they sometimes line up without thinking it.
Exactly.
Accidentally lining up with Scripture.
Okay, so here I'm going to fire it at you guys, and then you guys can respond. We all need a loyal best friend. Okay?
Okay.
This is a friend who says that lets you be in a hot mess and they know all of your deepest and darkest secrets. So that's your loyal and best friend. Then you need a fearless adventurer type friend. This is a friend that gets you out of your normal shell, okay? That maybe challenges you just a little bit, a fearless adventurer.
Is that the one that says, hey, go jump out of an airplane?
Yeah, right?
Just make sure you have your parachute.
Right.
And then there's another friend. This is the brutally honest confident.
Uh-oh.
This is the one that says, hey, look, you know what?
I'm going to call you on your stuff.
I'm going to call you on your stuff because I think you need someone to call you on your stuff. Then there's another friend. This is the wise mentor type friend. All right. This is the one that kind of you go to for advice and all that sort of thing. I think this is interesting. I think that's about as far as my computer wants me to go.
Oh.
Okay. No. And then there's a friend from a different culture. This is a friend that might wake you up to different ways of thinking. All right?
Okay.
And it kind of says, hey. So that's five from there. We're going to see how it lines up with what Frank talks about in his book. In case you guys don't know this book, it's
what
called
book is it?
Becoming Best Friends.
Becoming Best Friends.
Becoming Best Friends. And Frank talks about a friend that's a neighbor, that's the one that we see, a friend that's together, like a brother or sister, then a friend that's a partner, that we have a great relationship, a friend that's a defender, someone that says, I'm backing, I mean, I have your back no matter what.
Yeah.
So notice how the first five almost line up from Scripture, and we're going to get into these Scriptures in the next little bit.
Nice.
All right? So you guys, don't tune us out. Tune us in.
Tune us in. Exactly.
Okay? And become the conversation, because I can hardly wait to open up some of these Scriptures and find out how we line up. What kind of friends do we need in our life? And does it take practice for us to become a good friend? What do you guys think? Will it take practice?
I think you got to exercise it. And when I really believe when the Father puts somebody in your mind, and I know you guys always do this, to make that call and not to put that off, I know you guys always make the call. Always?
Yep. That'd be me.
I'm trying to learn to do that because I know when, you know, don't go away.
Thank you. You're listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the nations.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys, and you can call in and talk to us. I know we've had some person that's been calling us in. We got that fixed here this morning,
503-589-1220.
And you can be part of the conversation. We're talking about friendships and the different types of friendships, and we just started to enter in this whole conversation of what it takes to be a friend. Does it take a little bit of practice? I think so. I think we're going to have to do it. And we're going to be bringing up different types of friends. Do you need them? Or maybe we even talked about this whole thing of do we only need God to be our friend in order to be friendly? Well, I think we need him to be friendly. But is he our only friend? And has he put us here only to be friends with him? Or has he given us a purpose to be friends to others? So you can be part of that. Talk at
503-589-1220.
And if you want to do that, and if you want to take your friend and listen in, you can call in and do what?
Yeah, 605-562-9746. And call and listen live to the Wise Guys or any other Hebrew Nation program. So
why do you guys think this friendship topic should be important, or is it important for today's world? What do you think?
Well, I think it's really important because we are around other people all the time.
Constantly.
You know, no matter where we go to the office, we go to work, you know, we go to the store. We're around people.
Yep.
Even if we're at home, most all of us are around people, you know, so we've got to interact with them. And if we're not being, you know, friendly around them, well, that's going to be a horrible experience, I would think.
Well, that's a different type of friend. I mean, being friendly would be friend to your neighbor or friend to your or a work person that you want to be friendly to, but maybe not be close friends to.
Right, but still, that's one of the levels of friends.
That's correct.
You know? So at nothing else, even if it's just at that level, we've got to have just those level of friends, I would think.
In fact, Aaron, that goes with Strong's number 7453. It's called Rhea. Did you know
Rhea.
That?
Rhea.
Rhea.
I knew that, yeah.
Rhea.
Yeah, I knew it.
It's a neighbor or an acquaintance, okay?
Okay.
And it's kind of that first step that we take to see if we want to develop more of a closer friendship. So you're being friendly to see if I want to be a deeper friend.
Opening the door to test the waters.
Yep.
Yeah.
Testing the waters.
Yeah, so Rhea, okay? Done right, these friendships can grow into a deeper friendship.
Yep.
Or you might just decide to stay pleasant.
Yeah.
You're staying in,
you know, that is the way most of them stay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Only a very, very few become those close friendships.
So what stops a close friendship for happening? You know, we were talking about this before we got on the air today. I mean, those things that happen. I mean, back in the old day, Rick, and, well, Aaron, he's a young guy,
he's
right?
He's a youngster.
But,
thank you.
He's in his mid-40s. He's young.
But we had this kind of life to where the wife many times stayed home, and she was the entertainer planner for the weekend.
She was the entertainment director.
Yeah, set up the friendships, where the outings went.
Yep.
But now we have these things that happen where both spouses are working.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sometimes hard to connect with friends.
Well, it is. Everybody is so, that B word, busy. You know, everybody is.
Yeah.
You know, we all have 24 hours, but I guess it's all made up of priorities. You know, we have to work, right? We have to work to pay our bills. And saying that, it seems like to me that you have to make time for those friendships.
Well, and Rick,
if you don't, it won't happen, right?
Right.
Even like for you, mm-hmm. you are no longer working for a living.
Regular,
you've moved past that stage.
Right.
But you're still working.
Oh, work every day.
And so, you know, even after we retire from our career,
we're still
working, and so we still have to carve out that time.
Yeah,
you
still got to make the time.
Okay, so then you guys are telling me to move from the first level of friendship, which is that Rhea, which is mm-hmm. the friendly acquaintance.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
To move further, we have to practice something, and that is to make time.
I got a question for you, Roland.
Yeah.
You know, we all know that you've ridden horses for years and trained and everything like that. Did you just jump on the horse and go to a show for your first time?
No.
Well, how'd you get there?
I had to develop skill.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm. Lots of time.
Put the time in, huh?
Yeah, skill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I love what you're saying because that reminds me of things that we like to do. We all know that we should make a friend.
Mm-hmm.
That's the knowledge side, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But to actually create friendship would take skill.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. And how do you get the skill?
Maybe we need a woman to call in.
Ooh, I think we do. Maybe several.
503-589-1220. Yeah, and you can become part of the conversation.
Yeah,
help
we need
guide
to
the
hear
wise
from
guys.
To help the wise guys.
We need the wise gals.
Be wiser.
Wiser gals.
How do you make that movement? I mean, it seems like, I mean, according to Facebook and all this kind of stuff, we have a lot of acquaintances.
Lots.
Yeah. Lots. And we work and we meet a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But we're the most lonely society that's ever happened.
Boy, that's sad.
Yeah. According to the stats, we are the most lonely society that's ever happened. And the most depressive society. So does this friendship thing, why are we only at the acquaintance level? What's happened to us?
Yeah, something is not right. Something is disconnected.
Well, here's something for you. When I was doing some looking up of friendship on Google, one of the pieces of information that it gave me, besides the definition, was this little graph that I saw, and it almost like this little graph kind of cratered.
Hmm.
So I looked in and said, you know, what is this trying to tell us? And what it is, it's Google Books, and it looks like what it's telling me is the number of friendship books that are out there, books that are around the topic of mm-hmm. friendship, okay? And this goes back to 1800, where it's talking, the percentage is 0.007. And today, in 2000, it is 0.002.
So it's dropped.
So the conversation has really dramatically, it's like two-thirds, or one-third.
So the conversation is about friendship, or the conversation is about
friendship, and so it's gone from this 0.007 down to 0.002, and so the amount of, you know, conversation, talk, books about friendship has reduced by two-thirds.
Okay, so, but we still need the acquaintance level because that's when we make a decision, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's the same way that when we started to date our wives,
mm-hmm.
We started to get acquainted first, and then we made a judgment call. Do I want this to deepen or not?
Right.
So what's stopping us from growing a deeper relationship with other people? Is it just the busy, or is it just because we've forgotten to practice?
Yes.
Both?
Mm.
I would guess both of those mm-hmm. things.
Yes.
Okay.
And again, the only way you could promote this relationship is time.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's with starting with our Creator, spending time with Him, and with those relationships. And, you know, face it, most of us don't have a lot in common, right? So
mm-hmm.
you're probably not going to propagate those relationships. They're just going to stay acquaintances.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones where you say, wow, we got a lot in common there. like-mindedness, don't you think? I mean, you're probably not going to have a real super, super, super close relationship with somebody who doesn't have your same worldview. Now, maybe sometimes it can happen. Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
But it's usually the...
But that worldview
is... It's usually the next step.
That's a huge step, isn't it?
So let me give you the strongs on that one, because that's actually number two, according to Frank.
Okay. What does Frank say?
So the number two is Strong's 251. That's the protector friendship. That's Ock.
Ock.
Yeah, Ock.
Ock? I think Ock is a bird, too.
I was thinking it would sound like a lot like an ox, big and strong.
Yeah, it's called moving to the idea of a brother or sister type relationship to where this is someone who becomes closer than just an acquaintance, okay? It's the person who protects. It doesn't attack our weaknesses.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
So...
My brother did.
Oh.
That was when we were young and we were trying to pick on each other.
Make sure you know your weakness.
Right.
Yeah, but imagine this. Okay, so you get to know a person, right? And maybe it's a dating one or maybe it's just a friend. And so you get to know them and that person immediately starts attacking you for all of your mistakes.
Right. Instead of focusing on the good things you do, there's all your...
Yeah. Oh, you're a dweeber, man. You don't pick up. You don't do this. So how long is that person going to get into our friendship, sir?
I think I'm going to stay away from that person.
Right?
I got things going today. This is not going to work out.
But now let's flip it towards the skill. Okay, so if I'm on the other end and I'm wanting to gain friends, all right, so my first step is to get the acquaintance. My second step would be to do what with the person that I want
start
to get to know?
Start focusing maybe on their strong points, their attributes instead of their
Know them. What do you like? What do you like to do? Isn't that cool? Yeah.
Well, and I think, you guys, a lot of times in marriage – and I try to, you know, we've done a few little things to focus on the things we do well. We all have our weak points, don't we? We all do. You know, there was one that didn't, and he laid his life down.
Yeah.
And if we focus on those strong points and then encourage one another with the things we don't do as well, I think maybe we'll be moving in the right direction. Just a thought.
Yeah, it's, you know, I've always, wow, this has always happened to me with some of the teachers that I've worked with over the years. They immediately want to come in and correct a child. And maybe it's an eighth grader or a freshman or a sophomore. And I've asked them, I said, have you moved beyond the point of just being an acquaintance? Because if you're going to attack their weaknesses, have you developed enough trust?
Thank you.
Okay, for them to allow you to come in and get their character attacked. I mean, usually you have to put some money into somebody's life.
Time.
And I'm saying time is money before they allow you to come in and go, hey, wait a minute.
And listen, let's not blow you off.
Right. I mean, so this is a skill I think we need to practice right away after that acquaintance level, at least for me. I have to shut up and actually listen and say, hey, what do you like?
Well, so
what do you do?
You know, as you were saying that, I was realizing the experience I'm having with our little ones, you know, because they're in that you know, learning and growing stage. And, you know, sometimes they do stuff, you know, that's not right. Imagine that. And we have to try to correct them. But what I've noticed is each time that, and this is the way we do it most of the time, but when we encourage the good behaviors of it, that's when they kind of really start to grow and develop at that point, instead of just, no, don't do that, you know.
Oh, I get stop right now. I mean,
right. Don't run in the road. There's a car coming.
I get stop. Okay. But if we focus only on the weakness constantly, then we have a problem.
Right. Yeah.
So, Rick, do you remember the lady we had in here, Arlene Taylor, who was the brain specialist?
Sure do.
And she said that usually people respond to the positive three times faster than the negative.
Makes total sense.
Build them up.
Yeah. So we don't build them up in a false sense. I mean, she says, here's the danger of the false sense. Oh, you're fantastic. We love you. You're awesome. That's a false sense because nobody knows what that means. But if you say, hey, that was awesome that you picked up all those toys. You were just like a big person doing that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now the person goes, I did.
Whoa.
I'm a big person because I picked up toys. You're going, Yeah.
And now, man, they're feeling pretty good.
Now, that's a real event, okay, versus, oh, you're just so awesome. That's
Your performance is beautiful.
Yeah, so now I'm dealing with an ego person, okay? You're feeding someone's ego rather than something specific.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Interesting.
So many.
So from acquaintance to protector, and you can practice a skill of saying, hey, let me find out. Now, neither one of these are standalone relationships.
No.
So you got to move even deeper to move in. So let's, do you want to see what else Frank says?
What is else Frank saying?
Okay, so he moves to Strong's 2270. It's called Havar. Havar. It's a partner. Havar. It's a fellowship that comes out of partnering together. Hmm. It means to start knitting together. Means to start becoming a bosom person.
So I have to start knitting now?
Yeah, knitting.
That's like bosom buddies?
Yeah, bosom buddies, okay? They start giving time to one another, okay? Mm-hmm. When we build, it's called building a friendship. So we start to move from the acquaintance to the protector. That means I'm going to find out more about you. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to start becoming both, we start hanging out. It's a bosom friendship, partnering up together.
Nice.
And you kind of see that in a dating thing. I mean,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
What's your story? You know, how did
Well,
try to figure out where they're at.
Well, it's more than that. It's like I'm liking you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm liking what you have in store and I want to share both ways. So now, man, let's go out on another date or let's do this together. Let's do that together. You know, it starts becoming knitted.
Something begins to happen. Something begins to grow. We know it either grows or it goes the other way.
Okay, so answer me this, guys. When you guys were dating, you found time.
Boy, we're going back in time.
Yeah, I know. We got to go back to our memories. You found time to get together with that date.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To create a bosom buddy sort of thing, right? Well, I don't know if we can say bosom buddy.
Yeah, careful now. Hello.
But people go, well, you're spending time with her again and again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you seen her? Have you met her?
So in a friendship, we're starting to do this. We're starting to make time to say, hey, we need to make time and come together.
Right.
All right. Are there any Bible texts that we should be looking up in this area? I'm kind of curious if we have some more. This kind of moves us on to another quote I was wanting to get to, which has to do with our own way of thinking. And I think Frank had it right. If all we do is expect someone to give to us, then our ego is being fed.
Right.
And if all we do on the other thing is give to someone else and we're giving love, then we aren't being friends. So there's two sides of the friendship. I'm going to sit back and wait for you to give to me. Or you have one friend that's giving all the time.
So it's got to be mutual? It's got to be a mutual giving.
A friendship takes two.
Yeah, it can't be just all one-sided.
Otherwise, it'll fall apart.
It's not going to last, right?
Something will kind of go.
Yeah, I can remember some situations where I've been in where, you know, I've met other people who either we didn't feel on the same level.
Right.
They were either, a higher level or lower than me, you know.
You mean like intellectually?
Intellectually, yeah. Or, you know, some kind of a status level or something like that where, you know, I was wanting to kind of get to know the person and, you know, they were, you know, higher up and they're like, I am not going to talk with you. You know, one experience I had when I first knew my wife back in school, well, I was in two grades ahead of her.
Okay.
And she was she'd be two grades behind me. That was good, Aaron. Anyway.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't look back to her because she was a lower class.
Oh, she was.
You know, but I remember when I was in the lower classes, I knew all the kids up ahead of me, you know, but they weren't going to look down at me because you're looking backwards now and it's that status thing of, well, I'm an upperclassman now and you're not.
Isn't that weird?
It's very weird.
You know, it's, are we called to be a friend to everyone? Are we called to want friendships that maybe aren't our friendships? You know, here's the exact words that Frank says. Control is when we want them, meaning someone that we want to have as a friend, to give to us. Control is when we want them to give to us.
Feed me.
That means we're arrogant, okay, because we're not thinking of giving. And then the flip side, love is when we give to them, and we give our love out, right? And then maybe that's not reciprocated, and then we get hurt.
Then we get hurt, right. I'm giving you all this. I'm not getting anything back.
So that's like keeping score, maybe.
That can be like keeping score. Okay.
In a relationship, that can be deadly.
Right. And then friendship is when we both give.
When you both give, and you don't keep score.
Right.
Hey, you did 3 good deeds for me, but I did 6 for you.
Where's my next 3?
Yeah, I'm waiting for my 3. I mean, that's. So forget that.
Leave it there, right? You know, but do we ever take into account, you guys, what if that person has a different life than us?
Well, of course.
And that terrible B word that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they can't give back as much as you would want them to give back.
They're working 60, 70 hours a week, and they don't have the time. And when they're home, they're just trying to
get
recoup.
Their life together.
Yeah.
Yeah, eat and get some rest.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why it's so important to find out a little, you know, all those little...
So you mean actually talk to our friends?
I mean literally dialogue, face to face, you know.
Well, can't we just even just...
Instead of just writing, you know.
Just,
I mean, not that writing doesn't have a place, it does.
Yeah.
But I think you got to do more...
We got to have face-to-face time.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we could also just hang.
Hang?
You know.
Hang and not talk, you mean?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You know, Roland and I have done a lot of stuff where we... together where we couldn't actually talk.
Oh, so you're working or something?
We were working with chainsaws. We couldn't hear each other.
Yeah, you couldn't hear anything.
He was probably talking to me. I don't know, but...
Nah. Too loud in my ear, man.
but that's one reason why, you know, he and I have gotten to be good friends.
Yeah,
just
spend
time. Cutting trees down and stuff. And it's
working together.
Mm-hmm.
Or splitting logs.
Anything can happen. I mean... getting around a campfire, mowing lawns together.
That's how my wife and I started our relationship.
Around a campfire?
Around the campfire. We spent 5 days together.
Oh, that's right.
All we did
right.
was chat.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. You know how long that would have taken if we were just dating? I mean, it would have taken months
forever.
Or years to get that much. And you can really get to know somebody.
I could meet an email back then.
We didn't have that back then.
So,
we had the dialogue, the old-fashioned way. But, you know, we got to know each other very well. And it wasn't very long. 4 or 5 months after that, we were already together, married.
Wow.
So, you know, everybody has a different story.
Yeah.
I don't recommend that. But, you know, it worked for us. It was a Yahweh thing, Father God thing. And it worked out.
What are some of those texts that you had?
Okay, let's look down at Proverbs 19:4.
Okay.
And I'm going to read 5 and 6, 4, 5, and 6. And it says, wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his friend.
Where is that again?
That is in
19:4.
19:4, Proverbs.
Okay.
And then 5.
Wait. Read it again.
Okay. Wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his friend. Well, what do you think that means? The poor is separated from his friend. What is that? What does your translation say? Yeah.
My translation is very close, and I think that
we... poor. Why? Because you're poor? You're separate? I mean...
No, I'm stuck on the first line, Rick. I mean, it's like friends make me wealthy, or wealth adds many friends.
Well, you know, if you're wealthy and you give gifts to all your acquaintances... Boy, you're going to have so many friends.
But are they real friends?
Right, yeah.
Well, that's the question. Are they really friends? Or, man, that guy thinks a lot, of, you know, appreciates
well,
me.
Well, wealth adds many friends. So on that first deal, I mean, oh, man.
Wealth makes many friends.
I remember this so well. Okay, I'm going to be transparent here just for a minute.
Here we go.
Okay, there was a time in my life I had a lot of wealth.
Okay.
Okay, and there's a time in my life right now that I don't have a lot of wealth.
I don't have a lot of wealth.
Did you say right now? Is that what I just heard?
We know it both ways, but...
And when I had a lot of wealth, I had a lot of friends.
See?
It was really weird.
It's kind of amazing.
And then I lost a lot of friends.
and welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. Hebrew Nation, His Kingdom, His People, and Your Radio Station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys as we're having a conversation about friendship. What does it take? What are the different types? Does it take practice? Is it needed for today's society? I think we're starting to get some wonderful answers, and we're still waiting for you to be part of the conversation.
Yes.
You can call in at
503-589-1220.
Right on, and you can talk with us. We have those lines open right now, and you can kind of do that.
And I just received a text from my lovely Isha, my wife.
Nice.
And she says, please, will you please clarify, both sets of our parents were on that camping trip while we were around the campfire. In today's world, it doesn't mean much, anything, but we're old-fashioned. It's true.
Yes.
You know, how do we
you
always
had supervision,
think,
thank goodness.
Oh, man. You know, and, yeah. So I'll leave it at that. So if I misled anybody, forgive me.
Well, we all need to know that Rick and Jill were supervised.
We were well supervised for that week. But it all is still beautiful. It's more beautiful now than ever.
Yeah, beautiful to Rick.
Rick, this is a perfect example.
Everything is beautiful.
In its own way.
Oh, you know that one.
Absolutely.
It's a song.
Of course he knows it.
Was that Tom Jones?
No, that's Ray Stevens.
Ray Stevens.
Everything is beautiful in its own way. He also wrote The Streak, and he also wrote a few other songs.
The Streak.
Yeah, look at that.
Oh, you are.
Anyway. This is a perfect example of building that friendship.
That's right.
You said something, and your wife was like,
she
got me a little bit.
She says, make sure you clarify. See, that's what communication is all about.
And so then you come back and you're like, you know what, I gotta be able to build my wife up and make sure that she feels comfortable about it.
She is incredible.
And so you come out and you say, you know what, hey, just want to clarify that. Here's the rest of the story.
And a lot of times, you know, I'll be on the phone, she'll overhear me talking. She says, does that sound all right? You know, it's because I always run it by her because sometimes we say insensitive things. We don't mean to, but it's just.
We
just do.
It's the way that people hear things as well. I was writing a letter this week, over the weekend, and I wisely enough took it to my wife and said, "Hey, can you read this over? And how does this read? How does it sound?" And she said, "Well, this part right here, all that's good, except for this one half sentence.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound right. And so let's just rework that one a little bit."
Yeah. You know? See, so they have a perception that us as rough around the edge men don't have sometimes.
I want to give you guys a word for that.
What do you got?
Okay, that's the ally part of friendship.
Okay.
That's the Azar. That's in Strong's 58:28.
Say that again.
The ally Azar, which is Strong's 58:28. And I want you guys to know that ally is something that not only surrounds and protects you, but it doesn't throw you under the bus. Okay, so basically the ally is someone who's honest enough with you in your friendship ties or is at home with you or understands you. So it's being willing to correct you, but they're not going to do that in public.
You know, I think that is some, like our spouses, we're all one. So they are, I say, my better half.
Yeah.
And so, of course, they're not going to, you know, as we learn, as we mature, we're not going to tear one another intentionally down.
Yep.
Especially in public.
You don't do it in public.
And then, you know, say, well, you know, what you said was kind of, And then you can go back and make it right. You know, if I said something insensitive.
There's a scripture in that, and I forget where it is, but remember where Rick says, you know, a man gets in an argument and they get into this fight.
Right.
And if a woman were to come up and actually grab the other man's testicles,
oh,
then she would be held at fault and would actually be asked to be put to death. Now, the interesting part of that picture is
that's in the Torah.
Yes. So when she goes to take the other man and grab him where it counts, she just started fighting that man's fight. She put him down in public.
Oh,
you get the picture?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and messing with a seed, too. Of
not only that, but, you know, this is the man's fight. You just interfered in that fight and put your man down.
I'm going to fight your fight for you.
Yeah.
And
you're letting it be a fight.
I mean,
It's really interesting. So basically, if you have a really close friend, you should be able to trust them where they can speak truth to you.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to go out to the rest of the world and say,
it's going to protect you in public.
Absolutely.
So I think that's spiritual maturity as we learn. I mean, you know, when we're first young and stupid, if you will, we just say things sometimes and we don't say, oh, why'd I say that? You guys have probably never done that.
No.
I have.
Not at all.
I won't admit doing that.
Ever doing that.
Yeah, I'm not going to throw myself under the bus.
Yeah.
I've been thrown enough by others. I don't need to throw myself under.
Hey, well, you know what? We were perplexed off of a Bible verse before the break.
And that was Proverbs 19:4, and this is what it says. Wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his friend. So now, let's see what Frank says about
that. Well, we looked that up according to Frank and also the biblical meaning of the Hebrew within that text.
Uh-huh.
Wealth makes many acquaintances.
Yes.
Okay, so that's the first level of friendship.
Okay.
That's the shallow part.
Whereas a poor man is separated from that acquaintance, which is different.
He doesn't have all those acquaintances.
Well,
like the rich man.
He's not getting acquaintances through wealth.
That's kind of like with the story that you were saying.
Yeah.
With your experience.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I knew it
when
well.
You had, yeah.
When you have money, people want to be your friend. Okay, and then when you don't have money, you find out who your real friends are.
Right, because all those shallow acquaintances have gone.
Exactly.
Gone.
Wow.
All of a sudden, you're broke.
Mm-hmm. So that completely changes the way I'm looking at this verse now.
Totally.
Yeah.
Wow.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Now it actually makes sense. It was throwing me.
What's another verse?
Then in Proverbs 19:6, two verses down, many entreat the favor of nobility, and every man is a friend to one who gives gifts.
Ooh.
Ron, that's kind of, there you go. There it goes.
You ever seen, we always call that, what do you call those people who want to suck up to people?
Leeches.
I want to entreat the favor of someone that we think is famous or generous. And every man is a friend to him who gives gifts. Isn't that the truth?
Well, I mean, a gift giver, man. Hey, I want to be your friend.
But aren't gifts cool when you get them? I mean,
absolutely
nice.
It's fun to get a gift.
Yeah, I just got some gifts from some friends, and you know, I'm still trying to say thank you to all of those friends.
Yeah.
You know, huge gifts, and it was. You know, stuff I needed.
Yeah.
Wow. Beautiful.
How do you say thank you enough?
Yeah.
And how do you keep from being offended if you don't get a gift from someone that might be close? That's hard to do.
Yeah.
I think that's with that zero expectation. You just don't expect, you know, you're just happy with the friendship. And if you get a gift, it's just an extra. But just that zero, that unconditional love, if you will.
So then you're looking at the side of
just
I know you love me.
Yeah, and whether you give me gifts, that doesn't and I guess that's all predicated if your love language is gifts.
Maybe there's another type of gift.
Maybe
or I should know what your gifts need.
Depending, you know, there's five basic love languages and combinations of, you know, gifts is one of them. Quality time, physical touch.
Mm-hmm.
Words of affirmation. All those things.
But Jill likes you to work for her, right?
Jill says, she says, hey,
the honey-do list.
You love me?
Keep my commandments.
You love me? Do these things for me. See, that's what I'm learning. I'm still learning that.
Right.
You guys have all these down to a science. I don't.
I don't.
Oh, no. Oh,
are
no.
you kidding me? This is the testosterone room this morning. I actually need a female call-in at
503-589-1220.
You got it, and you can become part of the conversation.
Yeah, we need to hear from a lady today.
How do you practice friendship giving? And maybe it's not just gifts. Maybe it is that quality time.
You know, you tell me you love me, but you're not willing to make time for me?
Yeah.
Or you're not willing to give me gifts, if that's your love language?
You know, I had a person once, I mean, when I was wealthy, it seemed like my wealthy friends felt that they had to give me a wealthy gift.
Okay.
Okay. And
they had to give you big gifts.
They had to give me big, big gifts. And I felt really wonderful and gracious that they gave those to me.
Sure.
But some of the most precious gifts that I can remember were some of the people who didn't have money to give me a gift. And they either gave me a part of their time or they gave me something. Or maybe it was like, I remember when my dad died, there were some people that came out and fixed me some food. And there were some people that came out and cleaned up for me. There was some different types of gifts.
You bet.
And I was going, wow, that was cool.
Those are
So there's all different types that we receive.
Well, I was just going to ask you, do you have any of those gifts from the wealthy people still today?
No. And I can't even remember some of them.
You can't even wonder what they were.
Yeah. But the gifts from the not wealthy people.
I can still remember them.
You remember them. Isn't that amazing? Now, that's amazing.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Whether they fixed you a nice dinner. Or they came and helped you clean. I mean, those kind of things. You don't have time to do it. You're mourning. You're hurting, and they come and
Oh, they just called me directly up.
Yeah, give you the call.
And said, you know, I feel your grief right now.
How are you doing?
I had my dad pass away, so I just want to share that with you. Yeah. You know, it was just weird.
I know. Until you have that happen, you know, it's really not, unless you've had it happen, it's really not a good thing to say, I know what you feel like. Because until you bury...
Whether
it's a child.
You don't know, right?
You don't know. And boy.
I've caught myself saying that, you know, with the people, you know, man, I know how you feel. And then I got to stop my mind.
I don't.
I can understand that you're going to be, that you in a bad place, that you're in a hurtful place.
Right.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
But I don't know it.
Okay, yeah. So we are talking about how we like to have something received to us. So again, help me out. How do we practice? How do we develop a skill of sending it out?
Yeah.
So, Rick, you're saying you just got to pay attention and then act?
Yeah, you just have to. I mean, that's what we're all trying to – I think that's the part of putting teeth to your face, see? I'll show you. And do we any of us do that perfect? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
One did. But that's what we're trying to learn to do, to be sensitive to that discernment that comes from, you know.
But we can't have
only comes from him.
But we don't have discernment unless we are aligned with him and we've taken the time to move beyond the acquaintance level. So if I truly know what that love language is or that gift is, I have to move beyond the acquaintance level to actually get to know the person, and that takes practice.
Yeah, you got to exercise that.
Hey, Roland, I'm going to use an example here. I'm going to call you out here just because I know that. Because, you know, we're friends, and I'm not sure exactly what level on Frank's list over there I'd put us. But, you know, a good one, really good one.
Yes.
When I needed some time, because you and I have put in the relationship, you knew a need that I had, and so you knew how to address a gift for us.
Mm-hmm.
And you organized a bunch of people to come over and work on our yard that I hadn't been able to do for 6 weeks. Huge blessing.
Yeah.
And Rick was part of that.
Yeah, a lot of people were part of that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just little things, but yet to you,
it was a blessing.
And you couldn't do it.
Right. I have other friends who, you know, offer to do stuff. I'm not going to call them out on anything.
No.
But
Those are cool, too.
But they didn't know I had that need because, well, they hadn't been to my house. And
well, you had a relationship with Rollins.
Because Rollins has been there, he's worked there, and he's seen the place. It's like, hey, you know what? I see this need.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to reach out and meet that need. Yeah. So thank you for that.
Yeah. And somebody, that person in that relationship
has
to let the other family, Mishpokan, know the need so we can get out and do it as a body. And we all do a little bit.
So you're saying we have to recognize it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we can only recognize it if we know about it.
Right.
Right.
And then what
we only know about it because we're in relationship with them and in contact with them.
And then we can actually spread the word or actually get it out there.
Yeah.
That's right.
So this stuff is making sense to me. So we had Linda Watson on here.
That was last week.
Yeah, which was a historian about church life and fellowship. And she was telling us that no matter how big or how small, it could be a church group, it could be a home group, it can be anything.
Right.
People split, and they usually split, it's not over theology, it's usually split over hurt feelings, over friendships. Mm-hmm. Did you guys know that?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
And that was affirmed through also a sociologist, Tony Campolo. I don't know if you know him, but he's a Christian speaker.
Yeah.
And he talks about that if people can't develop a friendship within 3 months of joining any group, I don't care if it's six people, or 100,
mm-hmm.
or 500.
They won't stay?
They won't stay.
Really? So within how many months?
3 months.
If not, they don't establish some kind of a firm relationship within 3 months. Well,
they really.
It makes sense.
Well, it makes sense according to these things at Frankstown.
Yeah,
here's the acquaintance level. Here's the protector level. Okay? And here's the, what did I say? Oh, the ally level.
The ally, mm-hmm. right.
Okay, so if we don't become allies for each other, we're in serious trouble.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
You know, I've actually noticed that in Rotary. I've been in there for a year and a half or so now, something like that. And we're actually really growing right now because I think it's that same thing that you were just bringing up with Tony Campolo, of building those relationships. You know, people come in and leave, but if we don't make those connections and be intentional about making those connections, they're not sticking around.
Mm.
Right now, we've got a whole bunch of people who are making connections or bringing in their connections or pre-existing connections.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's already built there to stay in that group.
Intentional. But how do we get to the point of intention? How do I say this? I belong to my beloved and my beloved belongs to me. That's the Song of Solomon. Okay. My own familiar friend, this is in Psalms 41:9, is the man of peace. My own familiar friend is the man of peace.
Huh.
If I look at these, and I belong to my beloved, and my beloved belongs to me, I look at these texts, a man who has many friends must show himself friendly. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
Yeah.
A friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. Shoot.
So is that why we friends call each other brother occasionally?
I think so, but I think a brother is even more deeper.
Uh huh.
Do we drop our friends as soon as adversity happens?
Some.
Do we drop our friends as soon as there's a miscommunication? Do we drop our friends as soon as there's a conflict? Or do we stay as close as a brother and say, you know what, I made a commitment to be a friend, and I wonder if this is where your beloved becomes your beloved, to where you're saying, you know what, I made a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to stick this thing out. Okay? So if we've miscommunicated, let's fix the communication. If there's adversity, let's understand what the adversity is and why it's separating us. I mean, when you think of this, this is what's so cool about, I think this is the answer on marriages. I mean, many times marriages, we enter into a marriage thinking, well, as soon as they disagree with me, I'm out.
I'm out. Right. I'm done.
Or as soon as tough times comes and we don't have any money, I'm out of here. As soon as we have a problem, I'm out. And I think that picture is similar even within friendships. I mean, what do you think about that? Do those two relate? Am I just...
I have to say yes, because it's still... The underlying relationship is a friendship. It's just a deeper friendship.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't gotten there yet on Frank's list there, but, you know, a marriage partner, a spouse, is...
The deepest of all friendships.
Is the deepest of all friendships.
Right.
And it has to be based on, you know, liking of a person.
There was another friendship mentioned in the Bible is done between David and Jonathan.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? And and even the Bible says that they loved each other. Now, when you look at that love, it was a deep friendship,
mm-hmm.
which is one that says, you know what? I'm sticking with you thick or thin.
Yeah. Some people have tried to misinterpret that as a homosexual relationship, and it wasn't that, but it was very close. You know, it was so deep, and it was very close to that level of relationship.
Yeah.
But of course, them blaming both men, they didn't go there because that was against their beliefs.
Well, what's really cool, I mean, neither one of them threw each other under the bus.
Right.
Neither, and both of them stood up for each other in conflict.
Yes.
Both of them spoke praiseworthy words in front of people that were trying to attack them.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them met and they talked about things that were important for their greater cause or kingdom. They had a partnership that was moving towards a cause, which was God's calling.
Yeah.
Yahweh said, I wanted Israel to do this, and I've called you out to do it. So they both understood the cause.
Yeah.
My goodness. What are there other examples in Scripture? I think of Moses and Aaron. Have you ever thought of that?
I have a brother. You have brothers as well.
Mm-hmm.
My brother and I are very different.
Yeah.
And so today we don't have, the deepest of relationships. But if I ever needed anything, he would be right there.
He'd be right there.
If he ever needed anything, I would be right there.
If anyone punched you in the nose,
he would laugh first and then go after him. but yeah, he would be right there as well. You know.
Sure.
But we don't go and hang out.
Interesting,
you know, because we have different interests and stuff.
So is it okay to have different friendship levels?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So maybe you have a friendship, you know, these are the people that hang out with you because you like to exercise.
Yeah. Well, no, those aren't good relationships.
Oh, geez.
Listen, coming from a guy who's is recovering a little bit from running in the sand for a Sunday afternoon.
Well, I was going to compare some of these things again. I wonder if I can actually find this thing
again. What do you got?
Okay, which is really interesting. I love the world's point of view on the eight types of friendship.
Oh, right.
Because it actually kind of goes along. If you remember, we had a loyal friend. Okay? That's
is
the
that
one
that
says...
Is that close to the ally?
Yeah, very close to the ally. They all know the hotness, and they know your deepest and darkest secrets. They still love you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The fearless adventurer, that's the one that tries to get you out of your shell.
Okay.
Say, come on, and they push you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The brutally honest confident, all right? That's the, I'll get to it later.
Oh,
but
okay.
But that's my beloved friend.
Yeah.
Okay? They're the ones that are just saying, hey, take your glasses off. Let's think of it from this point of view. The wise mentor, that's the one that you go to for advice.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, you know, I need your input. A friend from a different culture, that's the one that says, hey, have you thought of this? Maybe your words are saying this.
Yeah.
The polar opposite. You guys ever had a polar opposite person in your life that you just get a kick out of? I mean, It's like,
well, sometimes opposites attract, you know.
I know, right?
Bad, yeah.
I think that, like, you just get a kick out of them. Like, you're really serious and they're really funny.
Yeah.
Okay? And you always go there when you need a laugh. Hang on.
Taurus connected with blessings, not salvation.
You're listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the nations.
Talking about friendship. Man. And you know what? It's an important art that has been lost, I believe.
Well, hopefully we can find it again.
We can find it. You know what? And we're finding it even in the scriptures. And who would have thought?
Right.
Who would have thought that it would be in the scriptures, let alone the Old Testament?
Every facet of life.
Yeah, the book of wisdom is
filled in. Look in Proverbs 17:17 and 18, and a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A man devoid of understanding shakes hands in a pledge and becomes surety for his friend.
Read that first part again. You've got to read that again, but real slow, Rick.
Okay. Take a friend loves at all times.
Stop.
Loves all times.
Even in the bad times. Even
when you're
time.
Going through the fire, he still loves.
And even when you miscommunicate. And
even when love is unconditional.
Even when you call him a jerk. He's still there.
Yeah. And a brother is born for adversity. What is that? Brother is born.
Well, but that's what we were talking about.
Is that iron sharpens iron type thing?
Dude, that was like
you're
was
getting
that,
excited.
Quick, yeah, quick, was quick, it quick, that quick. Aristotle? Was it that? Oh yeah, no friendship is an accident.
No friendship is an accident.
Okay, so if God truly loves us, if He created us for a purpose,
and we know He did,
and according to Ephesians, we're thought of before the foundation of the earth.
Knew us.
So if he knew us before the foundation, he's already put in our line friends that are supposed to be there.
Yep.
So when you read that text, read that again on the second phrase, which is
and a brother is born for adversity.
For your adversity.
Yeah. So when
he's there for a reason.
He's
so
there.
You've gone through adversity.
Even when you're going through the fire, your
brother is right there.
He's still there.
Yeah. He puts you there. So those phone calls that come to you in time of death or something else like that, they were there for a reason. God was thinking of you during that time and says, guess what? I'm sending this person to you today.
Yep.
You get him.
Yep. Yep.
So what's
18, and a man devoid of understanding shakes hands in a pledge and becomes surety for his friend.
Wow.
Becomes surety for his friends.
So you're doing things for your friend.
Yeah.
So if I'm devoid of a pledge, the friend can actually step in.
A man devoid of understanding shakes hands in a pledge.
Okay, so if I lack of understanding, but
devoid of understanding.
But then I make a pledge.
And then become surety for his friend.
So he's not, the friend doesn't know what's going on, but he's going to stand there with them.
What does your translation say on that?
I'm curious.
Yeah.
What is that again?
17:18.
Okay, I'm dying to see that. 17:18. A man lacking in sense pledges.
Okay, that changed a little bit.
just a little bit. And becomes surety in the presence of his neighbor. Wow. and become surety in the presence.
A man devoid of understanding.
Okay, so that goes along with Frank, though. Anyways, many things within the friendship circles, a true friend is going to tell me when I lack sense.
No doubt.
Okay? And I'm going to take it because I've gotten to know him.
When he's seeing you going to make a decision, he's a true friend's going to say, are you sure this is what you want?
And they're going to stand there anyway.
And they're going to be there even if you make the bad decision. They're still going to be there.
Right on.
They see it. And,
instead of, are you sure? Are you sure? That doesn't sound like it. Are you sure? Yes, I am.
Yeah.
I'm out. You know, that's
if you're sure,
thing.
I'm out of here.
It's a, but a true friend will say, okay,
that's what you want to do. I'm going to be here.
I'm going to stand here for you. I'll be right here with you. You know,
right.
Even though I know you're going to be going to the fire, but
right.
Still here.
I'm going to stand here with you because I'm your friend. Wow.
Oh, my word.
So some things to think
patience.
About to ponder, you know.
So that means I would have to practice patience.
And that
means I'd have to practice understanding. To be a good friend,
and a little humility.
And I have to practice humility.
Yep.
Because what if you are the one that ends up being wrong? You question him of, hey, I don't think you're going right. I don't think you're going right. Oh, it turned out good. Yeah. Okay, I was the one that was wrong. I stood here for you, but it turns out I was the one that was wrong.
Yeah.
And you were right, but I still stood with you. I didn't lose my friendship.
Right. Wow.
That's what true friendship is.
Yeah.
What's another verse you have?
Okay, there? I got 13:20.
Okay.
Still in Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with the wise shall be wise, but the companion of fools suffers evil.
That's a warning.
Yeah,
that's a warning.
Because remember at the start of the show, we said many of these texts are both blessings and warnings when it comes to friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when we're talking to our kids, and they're hanging around a bunch of fools.
Mm-hmm. What's going to happen?
Bunch of losers. You hang around with, my mom always say, birds of a feather.
Flock together.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've
Well, see, you know, both of you guys know Dave Ramsey, I'm sure, right?
Oh, yeah. I listen to David a lot.
You know, one of the things he talks about is, you know, well, his big thing is getting out of debt and building wealth. And what he says is, if you hang around broke people, you're going to be broke, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to the wisdom of broke people, you're going to be broke.
Yeah.
But if you want to be wealthy, go look at the wealthy people. Hang around wealthy people. Interview wealthy people. Talk
to
them.
Do what they do.
Do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And you start changing. So that, and that's what it says right here. He who walks with the wise shall be wise.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get wise friends, it's going to rub off.
Wisdom, though,
yeah.
if remember, wisdom's different than knowledge because wisdom has to do with practicing a skill set.
Yeah.
You gain wisdom from doing it over and over. Knowledge, you just know about something.
Yeah.
But wisdom is you do it over and over. What I'm curious about on this one is because you even said yourself a while back that you felt left out of some of the people that were wealthy, so therefore you pulled away. But yet you can sometimes go down the wrong path and just misery loves company. So you go with other miserable people. But at the same point, if I'm dealing with a true friendship and I know that my path has been put in front of their path and they're making dumb decisions like what we've seen on some of the other problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How would you relate to that? Would I say, I'm still your friend, but I'm not going to go with you as you get plastered.
Right.
But I'm here to pick you up if you're calling me.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe you just say, you know what? I'm going to go with you because you're going to need a ride home.
Are you going to need a ride home?
Yeah, you definitely you won't be able to carry yourself.
But I'm going to talk to you straight, whoever this is. We need to stop this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's a friend. But at the same time, you might have another friend that's encouraging you. Maybe that encouragement encourages the friend that you're with that's not encouraged. I don't know how this all works.
You know, I had a dating relationship years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just a friendship that started at work, and we started hanging out, you know, we kind of started liking each other. And she wasn't an alcoholic, but whenever she wanted to drink, she was getting drunk that night.
Oh, no.
Didn't matter. She wouldn't have just a drink. It would be multiple.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what the issue was, whatever. But I would always go because, one, I wanted to hang out with her. and I kind of wanted to be a good influence on her as well. But at a certain point, I was like, you know, this is not going anywhere. This is not healthy for you. This is not going to be healthy for me.
Yeah.
And I had that conversation with her, and we split after that.
Sure, we broke her. They called it off.
Yeah. You know, I think that was wisdom, Aaron, because you just, and you know, when you're courting or dating, everybody's on their best behavior.
Yeah.
So if you're seeing those flags at that time,
yeah,
what's it going to be like?
Yeah.
See.
So when do you break off a friendship?
That's. I think Aaron. Kind of spelled it out there that he saw it wasn't going. She wasn't going to apparently change.
Well, see, I still kept a friendship with it, but it became a different friendship at that point.
Wasn't that intimate thing?
Yeah, no. And later on, she was having some issue, and I contacted her again. She came back over, and we talked some stuff out, and I think that she was wanting to kind of get back together. And I was like, no, I can't go back there anymore.
Right.
I know that's not healthy anymore, but I'm going to be your friend. I'll be here for you.
Sure.
You know, I'll be, you know, somebody to talk to and listen to you.
So you're one of the levels. Let me go through these levels here again.
Yeah, I think that's important.
Because we're actually going to break these down in future weeks. So if you're missing this show, and yes, we are on a superficial level today. I get it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of sound like we're going to start a little friend series here.
Yeah, little friends. Little friends are friends forever.
Oh, I was thinking of a TV show.
Lord of them.
Yeah.
And a friend will not say never. Okay, so friend, the first one is that superficial level. Mm-hmm. It's the neighbor. It's the one that sees you and the one that sees us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I see you, you see me.
Won't you be my neighbor?
Yeah, won't you be my neighbor? And then we actually move, we have to understand the other type of friendship. That's the kin friendship. It's the brother or sister. It's the first two friendships can be enjoyed together. It's the foundation of what can follow. All right?
Well, and can't somebody in a fellowship
be a brother?
Be a brother as well?
Yeah, but that.
Not just biological?
But that type of friendship is called to be your first strong fence, your first protector. Okay?
Okay.
And we're going to know if we want to be friends if we see them protecting what we enjoy and we're protecting mm-hmm. what they enjoy. Then you have a friend or partner. That's the bosom friend or partner. Okay? It moves into coming together of like interests.
Mm.
Got it? That's the havar. Then there's the friend of love, hohev. Yeah. It's the love that actually pays a price. That means your time.
Mm.
Your energy,
mm-hmm.
funds, all that kind of stuff. Redemption, kind of like our Savior.
Mm.
Then we move into the friendship that's an ally or a defender. And they're the ones that sees the enemy. And they're the ones that are going to protect you from the enemy. And maybe you're the one that's being called to see the enemy towards another friend. Maybe you're called out to do that. Then there's the beloved. This is the one that's actually, in the Hebrew, it means nailed between the breasts.
Ooh.
Right?
That's a picture.
Yeah. Wow. That means this friendship is a delight. You delight being with this friend. And you need the friend to recharge yourself. Then, of course, there's the best friend of all. That's the person of my peace. That's the Ish Shalomi. That's the wholeness, the complete, and the peace. Now, you guys, when I give you all seven of those, where do you think that should be in a marriage relationship?
Well, that's what I was thinking about there. I was waiting for spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Spouse is not in that.
In couples?
Yes. The spouse is not in that seven.
It's all of the seven.
It's all of them.
Wait a minute.
Think.
Spouse is not one of the seven.
No.
Oh.
It is the seven.
It is the seven. It's complete.
Wow.
Yeah. They'll not throw you under the bus. They will support you. They are your strongest ally. They are your mentor. They are the person who you can talk to confidentially. They do make you whole.
Because you are one.
You're one.
They're your other half. And a miraculous job.
I thought you were going moronic. I go, that's the wrong way, Rick.
Yeah.
Wrong way.
That's
what an incredible job he did.
Yeah.
By creating this union of a man and a woman, And
should stop us dead in our tracks, though.
Yeah.
Because remember, Adam and Eve, he created Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
Right.
But now we have to create union another imperfect person, which means to me we better take our sweet time.
Well, you better not get in a hurry. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
You know, all those flags that you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're trying to warn the younger generation to just starting. That are courting and, you know, so they don't, you know.
They don't have all seven in their partnership.
Yeah, if there's something lacking, you better take a strong look.
Strong look. Okay, so here's the next question.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so that seven belongs in a marriage.
Right.
But when you're looking at friendships, do you expect a friend to be all seven O's, or do you look for different friends in different areas? What do you do?
Yeah, I think there's different specific. There's
503.
589.
1220.
It is your last chance to fill us in on that one.
Yes, come on.
Okay, so guys, what do you think?
Boy, one individual that's not a spouse to fill all seven.
Pretty tough.
Oh, holy cow, that would be a friend.
That would
be amazing. That
would be tall.
Are they wise and rich as well?
I don't know. Any of you guys ever have a friend? I had one of my friends, he was, I can still remember him, he was just awesome. And even to this day, if I see him, he'll give me a squeeze hug that would just kill me.
Oh, man, yeah.
He was a bodybuilder.
Oh, yeah.
And I met him when I was kind of scrawny, and I was a teacher dean.
Wait, you were scrawny?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm scrawny again.
He was like an ape.
Oh,
man.
Dude, that guy was amazing.
Squeeze your bones.
And he challenged me in the weight room and that kind of stuff, and I went, whoa.
Yeah.
And it is because of his challenging that caused me to come meet another Mark. And I dug down deeper in myself, and I found out that I could do something that I never thought I could do.
Yeah.
I never thought I could bench press twice my weight.
There you go.
Never thought I could do that.
Most people can't.
No. And he taught me how.
And you did it.
I did it.
Yeah.
I can't now. But
no, of course not.
I did then.
None of us can.
You know, so that's a cool friend.
That's a good one.
You know? But he was in one particular area. I mean, what about you guys? Have you ever been in a friendship that they taught you how to grow somewhere that you never knew that you could grow? Or maybe you had a friendship that, you know, caused you to put a fence around you again to maybe that friendship hurt you enough that you're going, you know, I ain't doing that kind of friend again.
You put up a wall and...
Yeah, those friends I can think of, yes. I've had those friends.
Yeah.
Boy, but the other one, I
know
there's only
there's
one,
a lot of friend, a good friend to think of,
right? Yeah. and unfortunately, that's the easiest one to think of. but I can think of one friend who would challenge me.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a pastor, he was a teacher, you know, he's not pastoring anymore at a church.
Mm-hmm.
But he calls himself a roving pastor now.
Mm.
I mean, he's on a completely different journey now.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what he does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got a huge, huge list of friends, probably most of them in the acquaintance level.
Yeah.
But he makes an intention of trying to seek those out and challenge those people and, you know, trying to do some of what we've talked about today.
Speaking of pastors, you know that pastors have the hardest time getting close friends.
Really? They know a lot of people.
They know a lot of people.
A lot of people, not lots of people.
Not very many that are close.
Well, I guess it depends on their fellowship or church, how many people they know.
They know a lot, but they fail in the close side because people can't necessarily relate to them because they've looked at the pastor as a mentor, as a teacher, and they don't want to necessarily get close to him. They like the advice, but then how do you form a close friendship when you always have been seeking only advice from that person?
Oh, that's a good point.
Okay. You see what happens? Okay.
They're always looking up to them and
rather than being a friend. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is.
And that's why pastors many times don't have. Rick, do you have any thoughts on that?
A
friendship that pulled you out of something or
not so much a friendship, but a mentor, and as far as and when I first got married, this was in the mid 70s. James Dobson was just coming up with his, he said, I'm never home. I'm always on the road. And he came up with his first video series, Turn Your Hearts Towards Home.
Mm-hmm.
And that really resonated with me because I was working two jobs trying to, we're going to get rich. Realized that really I had a window of time with my children.
Ooh.
And it really resonated with me. Hey, the greatest gift I can give my children is my time.
Yeah.
You know, money, you can save money, but we only have so much time. And it really, I was really grateful for his ministry back, and I'm grateful for it today. But that really taught me a lot of things, that the greatest gift you can give somebody is your time, because we only have so much of it. You can save money. My dad would always say this.
Mm-hmm.
You can save money, but you only have so much time. We all have the same amount.
Yeah, you really can't save time. I mean, the goal is...
No, you can't.
You know, business things out there, saving time.
No.
Well, it's not really saving time. It's just being more efficient.
Right.
You don't really save the time.
You have the 24 hours. We all have those. And it's all about priorities, isn't it?
You know, Rick, you bring something on here that's really important, and it has to do with parent, children, when do you become a friend, et cetera.
Yeah, because you're kind of in that window, aren't you?
Yeah, because once your kids get older, they aren't necessarily looking for advice. They're just looking for a relationship, okay?
Right.
Which is, Dad, you know, you taught us all the way up to this age, okay? But now we're trying to figure out.
I'm an adult now,
yeah,
and I can make my.
Yeah, I can make my own decisions.
Unless they ask you.
But the time thing, it starts at an early age. I was reading a stat the other day.
Yeah.
And some of the unhappiest kids, so the kids that have trouble, the kids that have too many freaking toys.
Oh, they have so many.
They don't need toys. They just
not
need
that
time.
Many. One or two, maybe.
If that. And you know, I was meeting like another parent that said she would hide. I mean, she had all these toys that people would give them.
And they'd put them away?
And they'd put them away.
Right.
Okay, and only have maybe two out for a week. And then they get rid of those, and then they bring out the next two.
Yeah.
And they found that their house was cleaner. They were, and the kids were happier, and the kids were finding toys that developed exploration, like going outside, pulling weeds out, looking underneath dirt, making a mess.
Out playing outside.
Yeah, going under the cupboards, putting things in the dishwasher were all fun for the kids.
Yeah.
Which was just weird. And they got to have time with mommy and daddy.
So it's all how we train them, isn't it?
Oh, wait.
It really is.
They all have time with mom and dad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that another friendship?
That's another friendship. You're developing a friendship. It still is an authority friendship when you're younger, but you're still able to say, hey, I'm on the ground with you. I'm throwing a ball at you. I'm wrestling with you.
Yeah.
We're picking up this room together, and you can do it. You can be an adult. You can be big like me.
And
you know?
If you're not there, you can't do those things.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's what you learned.
That's what I learned at an early age. Thank goodness at an early age. Yeah. So I told my kids, I says, you know, I don't have a lot. You know, I'm not working with two jobs anymore, but we'll spend time together.
Yeah.
And I made time to take the little – every couple months we'd get out of town for a few days. And
so so do you see the results of that time invested back then today?
Now I'm getting it back, yes. And my kids realized that they were more important than money or anything else. They were, after the Lord, they were, our family time was important. And now they've made that time with their family.
With their kids?
So, yeah.
And your grandkids.
And now my grandkids. Now
Great.
We're starting, now you're going into a whole nother dimension of, wow. They really are the golden years.
Yeah.
More. I always say more mature.
More mature. There you go.
Hopefully. More mature.
Mature.
The golden years of Ron, you have that to look forward to, and so do you, Aaron.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just realized the three of us are in three of these different parent stages.
Yes, we are.
You're
youngsters?
Yeah, you're now in the grandparent stage. Rollin has just moved into
he's
the young adult
empty nester
stage. And I'm you know, got the little ones, as well as with some that are starting to go out into the world, you know, getting to the adult thing. And so,
so boy, they're going to keep you so young, Aaron.
Well, they're going to make me old. Wear me out. Yeah.
Well, okay, guys, we're coming up to the end here. And I just want to encourage everyone that's out there to listen into Hebrew Nation Radio online. We've got a lot of great new shows on there. And you can listen in and give and help out this radio ministry. You can write to us and tell us what you think of these morning shows.
Yeah.
That's the number three.
Wise Guys.
At HebrewNation.net.
You got it. So you need to go ahead and do that. Write to us.
Yeah.
We missed hearing from some of you.
The darkness must flee from the living word. His light now shines, the darkness must flee. Yeshua is the light of the world.